Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Chinese astrology, that's what we're talking about today. And I'm just here to tell you that is way more to it than what you see on your placemat at your favorite Chinese food restaurant. It's a complex system of understanding yourself that combines the 12 familiar animals and the five elements. So, and I'm really excited to have astrologer Paula Sherwin as here on the show with us today as we talk about how she blends this ancient form of astrology with Western astrology and really brings up a deeper understanding of yourself. Paula's a really wonderful astrologer, and she calls herself the Astro Lady, which I think is cool. She's also an artist and illustrator, and she recently co-authored and illustrated a book called East Joins West, Chinese Astrology for Western Astrologers. And I've been studying up on my Chinese astrology since I knew we were going to do this, and I've learned that it's really old and complex and rich and has all these layers to it, much like our Western astrology does. And just as it's not fair to judge Western astrology by reading the little snippet you get that gets posted in the newspaper, like, you know, you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger today, it's also not fair to base your judgment of Chinese astrology on the placemats, right, in Chinese food restaurants. So let's go deep into this and discover what's real and cool and awesome about Chinese astrology. Welcome, Paula.
Hi, Lisa. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show with me today. I'm so excited.
I am too.
So can you give us just an overview of what, I mean, I really think truly that most people, all they've ever heard of Chinese astrology is what we see on the placemats. What else is, you know, tell us more about it than that.
Okay, so there are 12 different animals that you'd see on the placemat, and what you don't see on the placemat typically are the elements as well, because each of these animals for 12 years, there'll be one animal. So this year it's the year of the rooster. So anybody who's born this year will have characteristics that resemble some of the characteristics with roosters, for instance. And this year is also a fire year. Reason that that's important, it's a fire rooster. It's a different type of rooster than any other rooster year that you're going to have. And it's going to take 60 years before you're going to have that combination again, a fire rooster year. The elements are, we start out with metal and then water, wood, fire, and earth. So we add that metal one, and we have a different one with wood that is different from the typical Western astrology that we're accustomed to, because we have the four elements in Western astrology.
Right.
So
yeah.
When I look at Chinese astrology, I'm usually, because I'm a Western astrologer, I'm usually using it as a backdrop. I'll take a look at the year that my client was born, and I'll take a look at the characteristics that animal and that the characteristics that animal has, as well as the element of that year. And typically, what it does, because these two systems mesh really well, it's a nice complement. It's a nice backdrop that usually follows patterns that I'm already seeing in the Western side.
Yeah, I love it. I read in your book that Chinese astrology sort of, I don't know, deals with the unconscious self or the sort of our baseline part of the self that's not always in our consciousness, right?
Exactly. One of the differences, this is the moon also on the Western chart. When you go outside, well, you don't have to go outside at all. If it's cloudy or you're in the house, you're going to have a sense of where the sun is, where it's rising, where it's setting, and middle of the day, even if it's cloudy, you know what's out, you know that it, what it looks like. But the moon is completely different when you walk outside. You don't know if it's going to be full, if it's going to be dark, if it's going to be quarter moon, and then you don't know where it is in the sky. It's almost mysterious unless you really study the moon. Well, that's the difference between our systems is when you're looking at a lunar system, a moon-based system, which is the Chinese, this tells you a lot about your unconscious motivations, just like the moon in our Western chart. So it's not the stuff that you're most, you know, most accustomed to about yourself. In fact, a lot of people, when they go, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm not a goat or I'm not a snake, that doesn't sound like me, very often there are qualities that very much are about you at an unconscious level. So there's the value.
All right. Yeah, it's so interesting to think that Western astrology is based on the sun, right? Your solar,
exactly.
The solar return, right? And this Chinese is more based on the moon. So does that also mean that the Chinese astrology is sort of more emotional, like we're emotion-based too?
Well, it's going to have, yeah, a lot of the qualities, you can at the gut level, but there's also going to be a lot of, you know, just like in Western astrology, where it's going to be very clear and very predictable. But it definitely has a lot more of that more gut level or the unconscious, just what we don't think about when we're doing things. And there's value in that and understanding that, because if you know yourself, if you're doing things unconsciously, it may not be what's in your best interest. So it's good to learn those qualities that are strong in your chart that are not as conscious so that you can monitor them.
And where did the animals come from? Like, how did they come up with these animals?
Well, they have a couple different, you know, they have a story about Buddha having a race, and that these 12 animals, these are the animals that won the race. So that's one of the stories. And in reality, I guess it has a lot to do with different trade routes and different animals that people that were around at the time. But they have this, you know, when you read the story about the Buddha, it's how come the rat came in first, because he's cunning and he's smart. He got on the back of the ox who was really hard working, but the rat got on top. And then when they got to next to the tree, got across the river next to the tree, he jumped off. And so he was the first one. So the story talks a little bit about the qualities of each of the animals as they were trying to get to the Buddha.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's also an interesting way to go, oh, yeah, that sounds like something that could be real about rats. That sounds like something that could be real about ox. So the story, they do that purposely so that it's sort of an introduction to each one of the animals.
And do you think, like, the fact that they're trying to get to Buddha has something to do with trying to get to enlightenment, like how we all take our journey to enlightenment?
Well, that's curious, yes. I hadn't looked at it that way. Yes, there you go. I hadn't looked at it that way. That's an interesting way to look at it. Yes, how all of us would take different routes, different methods, different forms to learn more about ourselves and more about our world and more about whatever spirit is.
That's so cool. And it's really old too. The system is like goes back like so far back in history, doesn't it?
Yes, like literally. I think they've got records clear back to 6,000 years ago. I mean, it's a really old system. So a person might think, well, come on, how can, you know, I don't know, a rat or an ox or a tiger, how can this possibly, how can this describe people born the entire year? How can this be? Everybody can't be a monkey that has all the similar qualities in one particular year. How is this possible? But it's the same level, well, not the same level, it is a remarkable level of complexity, because it's not just the year you were born, it's the month you were born, the day you were born, the hour you were born. They have an unbelievable depth and complexity of their system. And you have to assume it has to be accurate, it has to be worthy, or it never would have lasted this long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what do you say about that? Like, how can it be true that everybody that's born, like, I'm a dragon, and I think I'm a wood dragon, right? So how can everybody that's born in the year that I was born be the same? Like, how can that actually be true?
Well, it's just like for the Western astrology, you know, you're a Libra. Well, is everybody else a Libra? Or all Libras, are they like you? Absolutely not. Because you're going to have the sun in Libra, and you're going to have a different rising sign, you're going to have a different moon. All your planets are going to be spread all over the chart in all different ways, in all different, you've got five positions in one particular house. This makes you, you know, unbelievably unique. And everyone else who was born in, you know, as a Libra, their planets are in different places, different houses, different, this, you know, all the energy is different because of the time you're born, the location you're born. There's all this stuff that's happening, and it changes the chart, sometimes subtly, sometimes dramatically. It's the same thing with the Chinese. Although it's 1 year, just like ours, you're a Libra, well, theirs is, it might be the year of the rooster, but it's also the month you're born, the day you're born, the hour you're born, all these other things that they are factoring into it. So then when it's all said and done, there's all these different ramifications.
That's so cool.
It's the same idea is, you know, people will go, oh, well, in my case, you're a Virgo. Well, yeah, a Virgo sun is the truth of the matter. It's the Virgo sun. And that's only one of about, well, there's 1,700 different points you can look at in a chart in Western astrology. So there's a ton of things you can look at. And one of them is the sun. We think of it as major, of course, but it's only one. It's the same thing with Chinese astrology. There's only 12 animals, but that's only the year that you were born. That's only one thing they're looking at. So it becomes very rich and very complex, their whole system.
And I'm kind of interested in the compatibility too, because I think like part of the placemat is like, well, you know, dragon gets along with these animals, but not these animals. And is there like dating possibilities or compatibility possibilities by knowing this too?
Absolutely. Yes, they do. They have, and you'll see it, you know, if you do any kind of research about it, that's one of the things, because we do the same thing with Western, because you're always looking at compatibility. So we do that. They do it in Chinese astrology as well. So some animals get along better with other animals. And one thing that's interesting to do is start, you know, finding out from people what year they were born. They may or may not know. It's so easy to go online and find it because you can't say a particular year. Unlike Western astrology, which the year begins January 1st every year, it's a solar-based system, Chinese doesn't. The Chinese is the first new moon after we go into Aquarius. So anytime after January 21st, it's the first new moon. So every year it's different.
Interesting.
So I see this year, I'm trying to remember what this one is. It might have been the 28th. I'm forgetting when it started this year. And think it's like the 15th next year. It switches every year. It is similar to our Easter, which I think is the first new moon after the March equinox. So
that's right.
It's the same thing. It changes all the time. So if you have a birthday in January, probably less than 50% chance that that's the year that you're going to be born in. You know, when you look at those placemats, you just go, oh, look, here's a year, 1977. I must be a, But if you are born in January, then you're going to be the previous year. So you really actually have to know the crazy date that it starts. But anyway, the beauty of it is once you start kind of talking to people and finding out dragon qualities, or in my case, snake qualities, or I have a couple people that are very close to me and they're tigers, then you get to go, oh, look at this. When tigers are together, that's a lot of tiger energy. And this isn't working so well. So you get to learn about energy from the different animals. And just by observing over, you know, a long term, because it's not real short, but it's the observation piece is what's fascinating, because then you get to go, look at that. Because when you know people well, then you start picking out the various qualities they have when you see that animal. And then when you meet other animals, other people with that same animal, then you go, look at that. There's some similarities here.
I still think you could run like a crazy cool astrology sideline of like dating compatibility charts. Like, you know, before somebody gets their first match date, you want to check everybody's charts together and just be like, yes or no, yay or nay. It would be pretty cool.
That's true. You know, they do have that service, not particularly related to match, but you bet. I will have people call, and that's what they're looking for.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's an important thing, because truly, it's good to know what's core values. It's interesting, isn't it? You wouldn't imagine that with astrology, but that's one of the things Jungian psychology is all about, is why he liked astrology, is because it jumps over the stories that we tell, because we all have a story. Oh, I was neglected. I was abandoned. I was this. I was that. And so we carry that story and we tell that story. Well, when you go straight to astrology, that story isn't what you're looking at. You're looking at what the energy is, what you brought in, and what the energy is now, what you're dealing with. So it's easier to understand somebody at a psychological level when you're not listening to the story. Instead, you're really looking at the energy.
That's so cool. And how do you blend these two together? Because I know that's kind of your specialty, is combining Chinese and Western astrology.
I always look for patterns. Whenever I'm looking at, you know, let's move with, you know, Western astrology, I'm looking for patterns. I'm looking at a person's chart to see what the strongest energies are. And I use Chinese astrology as, once again, just another piece of the puzzle, and it always meshes. It always is part of a pattern that's already becoming clear in Western astrology. It just confirms it. It's interesting to me that so far away in the world and all the difference and the changes, that they would be so compatible, but they are a very nice mesh. They repeat patterns. So that's how I use it.
Can you give an example? Like what would be an example of that?
Well, I'm considering right off the bat. I look at your chart. You have a lot of positions in a very mystical house in Western astrology. I mean, you know, I'd look at Libra and that wouldn't tell me enough. And your Capricorn rising wouldn't tell me enough. But when I look at your chart, I'm going, you've got a huge number of positions in the eighth house, the house of mystery studies, the occult. That which is in Western astrology, kind of messy. It's Scorpio's home. And Scorpio's very comfortable in places where not everybody's comfortable. So it's sort of a very magical and mystical house. And you have Dragon. And Dragon is very magical, very mystical. So you have that meshes. That's just part of a pattern, a very clear and easy pattern. That's part of it. Another interesting thing is you'll find things about a particular animal, in this case, dragon. Dragon is just all kinds of, well, dragons, you think, fiery, mystical, very lively. They're kind of impatient, they can be kind of intolerant, and they have a ton of energy that they're willing to direct. But the best thing for dragons is to be in relationship, to have someone help them direct the energy, because they have a ton of energy, but sometimes they don't know how to direct it. And just personally, that's one of the qualities I'd say is true of you. So it's just an interesting observation when you're watching. And then another odd observation is I do charts for several people who have fabulous intuitive skills, and I can't tell you the number of them who are dragons. So it's just a funny, odd, you know, coincidence. But that's another magical piece that falls in.
That's cool.
It is. Isn't it cool? So it doesn't seem possible. Some of these things just don't seem possible. And then when it happens, I'm thinking, you know what? Logically, my, you know, left brain's going, this doesn't, how is that even possible? But then I see it repeat itself time and time and time again. I'm like, okay, let's just sit back and look at the patterns.
And how could we talk about the animals? Like, what, I know there's 12 of them, so we don't clearly have time to talk about all of them, but what could you say about your favorite animal, a cool animal? If it's the year of the rooster, maybe we could talk about that. You know, and what's it like when we're in a year, like when we have the year of the rooster, what is that year like?
Okay. Well, when you think about roosters, they're hardworking, always pecking, always moving, always working. So it's, you know, this is a year that's going to, that where hard work's going to pay off. You know, so if you're working hard this year, this is going to be a really good thing. Roosters work hard. They get up first thing in the morning, right? So they are the ones who sound the alarm. So that's good to know in that they're up really early. It's a year that hard work's going to make a difference. When you're looking at roosters, pecking order is important. We're looking at what's happening, you know, we've got the pecking order. We have someone who works hard. Another thing about roosters, what do? They throw their chest out, and they're very flamboyant. So this is a year that you're going to see a lot of fashion, because this is what roosters do. They really like, they like how they're representative. So whether it's, a uniform or something very flamboyant. Some examples, Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, all of them are roosters. So you can expect some really cool styles that are going to pop out this year, or really outlandish, whatever you want to call it. Very flamboyant.
That's cool.
Thing that I would say that that we want, that's interesting this particular year, because it's rooster, is you have our political, what's happening in the world at this point. We've got a couple of roosters that are trying to gain ground, and it's a fiery rooster year. So I'm like, wow, this may not be a really easy year. We may have a little stress here while leaders are trying to gain ground and be the top rooster. So that's one of the things that, yeah, isn't it?
Mm.
But then next year it is an earth year. So we move out of fire and we go into earth. And so that's kind of calming right off the bat. And it's a dog year. So it's going to be a much more grounded year next year.
And what would a dog year be like?
It's going to be a lot more humanitarian. So instead of, kind of throwing our chest out and, you know, look at me and trying to take over the barnyard, instead, the dog year is going to be a lot more humanitarian. We're going to be taking more care of the world than we are of our own personal position. You know, when you think about the difference in the animals, and of course, that's very superficial, that there's so much more depth, but you can just take a high level look at the difference between those animals.
Right. When I think about dogs, I think about sort of loyalty and companionship.
Exactly.
And an earth dog year seems like a whole lot of different story than a fire rooster year.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm not, this one, you know, this is a year about hard work. Also, the rooster, when you hear the rooster alarm, it really means pay attention. You know, it's a year that we all should be paying attention. You know, wake up, pay attention. See what's going on here, that we all need to join in and make sure, do the best thing.
And do we do predictive astrology with the Chinese astrology too?
I don't do the predictive with Chinese. I use it more as a complement and completion of patterns. I don't do the predictive astrology with it. But no question, it is done.
Wow. So I'm just looking at the book here, and it's so fun to see your illustrations, and you have these gorgeous illustrations that you did because you're the illustrator of the book. And they're pretty cool. They're Zentangle pictures of the animals. And I hope everybody runs right out and gets a copy of the book, because it's gorgeous to see these beautiful illustrations that you've done.
I love it. Plus, you know, then when you're doing the Zentangle, because it's a very meditative art, as you do each animal, you know, it's like anything else. The more you study it, the more insight you get into it.
And if somebody wanted to get a copy of their book, how would they get it?
I'm just on Amazon.
And it's East Joins West Chinese Astrology for Western Astrologers?
All you got to do is put in East Joins West, and it comes up.
Great. And how would people contact you if they wanted to reach you and get a reading?
I have a website, PaulaTheAstroLady.com, and they can just go to the website, and there's a link, an email that comes to me. And it's also, it's a little different email. It's AstroLady Paula instead of, that's why I go with Paula the AstroLady, because it's easy.
Cool.
So just go to the website, and then you can just send an email.
That's great. And I just think it's such a sweet, sweet little book that it's really interesting and really expands on so much more than, you know, I learned a lot about myself actually by really reading deeply into the dragon stuff.
Excellent. I know. I love the dragon. And it turns out you and I are very compatible. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, I always knew that, but I'm glad the astrology agrees with that. That's good to know.
But that's what you like. So yeah, we need to find, you know, take a look at the people around you because you have to have the birth date. I mean, if, you know, if it's in March beyond, then no, you don't need to worry about it. It is that particular animal that year. But it's fun to take people who you know well and start learning about their animals because it's this observation thing that makes astrology real that you get to watch and then go, ah, yeah, here's some qualities that make sense to me. And then you can apply it. You know what I mean? You can see it with other people.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Paul. It was so fun to have you here. And thanks all of you guys for listening today on Empower Radio. Thanks a lot.